Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Several years ago, I offered a message series called The Ark of Faith. The Ark, of course, is a metaphor from the Old Testament, which reminds us of the story of Noah. Noah was a faithful man who did what seemed completely unreasonable, and he built an ark, a huge boat, to shelter his family and the animal races of creation from an oncoming flood. The result was that the waters of chaos stayed outside, and there was safety on the inside. Faith can be like an ark. Sometimes we feel that life out there can be overwhelming and chaotic, especially the last couple months. We can feel tossed to and fro. Faith is the ark that holds the chaos at bay. And yet, when you think about it, an ark is not a luxury cruise ship. An ark, in some ways, is a rough place, a challenging place. Faith is not always easy or automatic, and in some cases, in the hollow space of that ark, live alongside us plenty of questions and even doubts. And yet faith can be such an amazing, powerful resource in times like these. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul the Apostle writes, "I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are rooted and grounded in love." Let me read that again. "I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love." So how does a modern person have faith anyway? Well, let me offer a few ideas. Maybe one important starting point is the Greek word for faith here in this Ephesians passage. It certainly means faith, but this word also has mixed in there the idea of trust. So right from the beginning, we think about New Testament faith as relational. In other words, it is about trusting a person, a someone. And in this sense, faith in God is a little bit like falling in love. In truth, the God we worship is way too big to comprehend. And yet, God is also numinous, a word that some theologians would use, numinous. In other words, very close to us at the same time. God is wholly other, and yet God is also numinous, close to us. And this knowing goes along with our mind and our reason, and at a certain point, those ways of knowing reach an end. And our way of knowing God continues sort of along a different trajectory. And that's why I say it's a little bit like falling in love. There are reasons to fall in love, and yet love is not always reasonable, and we don't always understand why we love. So in this sense, I call this a trans-rational kind of knowing. Now, I know that sounds heady, but if you have relationships, you already do this every day. Think of someone that you know and that you love. You know them, you love them, you know they exist, you don't comprehend them. They're still a bit of a mystery. You could describe them as skin and bone. You might get in trouble if that's the only way that you talk about them in terms of external appearance, because people want to be known. And not just on the level of reason. Very early in our marriage, I bought a gift for my wife, Julie. I was very proud of this gift. We were a young married couple. I had watched her do activities related to this gift, and I thought this would make her life easier. It was a logical gift. It wasn't a toaster, but let's say it was sort of in the same ballpark. In my mind, it was a sensible, logical gift. Well, you know what happened? She absolutely hated it. She kept it for a while just to appease me, and then the gift became the punchline of many years of jokes about that particular gift. Again, it made sense in terms of reason and observation. It was logical, but it didn't exactly make her swoon. It wasn't what she wanted. Now that we've been married a lot longer, I generally know her. I generally have a better sense or intuition about what she might like as a gift. One year recently, I remembered there was a perfume that she really wanted at Christmas, but for whatever reason, it didn't happen. I don't remember if it was out of stock or we decided to, I decided to get her something else. And then months later, I wasn't sure what to get her for her birthday, and I was just about to give up. And then I remembered the perfume from months previous, and I knew she would like it. This was a logical knowing, but it also came from my experience and my intuition of her. And she did love that gift, and she was so surprised. She said, you know, I had completely forgotten about that conversation, but I knew, and in that knowing, there was sort of a happiness and a joy in the exchange of that gift. Well, faith is a little bit like that in the sense that it requires a bit of intuitive knowing. Now, don't get me wrong. Theologians can give us lots of reasons why we believe. But in the end, there's a bit of trust involved, a lot of trust involved. At a certain level, it is transrational, meaning beyond our rationality. There's rationality in the content of our faith, but it goes beyond that. It doesn't stop there. You know, and I asked myself, what if we could learn to listen to that inner knowing and cultivate it a little bit more? What if there is a voice inside us urging, you know, sort of begging, yearning, if you will, to reach out to God in faith? And maybe it's more natural than we think. One of the greatest minds in Western herbal medicine is a man by the name of Simon Mills. I had a chance to meet him once and say hello to him and have a brief conversation at the school where I earned a degree in Oriental medicine. Simon has been on advisory committees with Prince Charles in the UK, and he serves as an advisor to the House of Lords in England. The story about how Simon got involved in recovering the idea of using herbs and plants as medicine, as I've heard it, is that Simon was a young boy and their family had animals. And he noticed one day that one of their goats was sick. It wasn't eating anything. And he noticed that the goat kept going over to a fence in a particular place on the property. And there at the fence, there were some plants growing through the fence. And this goat who was sick and not eating started munching on just this one plant that was growing there. And soon thereafter, the goat got better. And young Simon did some reading, and he learned that the plant that the goat had been eating was reputed to help settle the stomach. The goat knew by intuition what it needed. It didn't need the other plants nearby. It didn't need to eat its normal diet, just this one herb to settle its stomach, and it got better. Here's a question I ask. If the goat can self-medicate, or a goat can self-medicate with herbs and get better, is it possible that we can embrace faith and in so doing, heal what ails us spiritually? Maybe there is an impulse inside us that says, I need this. I want to reach out to God. And what if those intuitions could lead us home? Christian author Philip Yancey was once driving down the road when he came upon a number of cars pulled off to the edge of the highway. So he stopped to see what everyone was looking at. Yancey writes, against the slate gray sky, the water of an ocean inlet had a slight greenish cast, interrupted by small white caps. Soon I saw that these were not white caps at all, but actually whales. Silvery white whales in a pod feeding no more than 50 feet offshore. I stood with the other onlookers for 40 minutes, listening to the rhythmic motion of the sea, following these graceful, ghostly crescents of surfacing whales. The crowd was hushed, even reverent, at the beauty. For just that moment, nothing else, the dinner reservations, the trip schedule, the life back home, none of that mattered. We were all confronted with a scene of quiet beauty and a majesty of scale. We felt small. We strangers stood together in silence until the whales moved further out. Then we climbed the bank together and got in our cars to resume our busy, ordered lives that suddenly seemed less urgent. Yancey experienced this breakthrough, this experience of beauty and awe and wonder that strengthened his faith. And in that moment, he was rooted and grounded in love. So I think about today, many of us are operating out of a fight-or-flight mechanism. Feeling keyed up about society or work or our children's schooling or the future of schools or the future of our jobs or relationships. We're in a fight or flight mode, and we're likely not even aware of it. And when we're in fight or flight, it's not easy to connect with God. if you think about your life and you notice that you're really not connecting with God, that may be that indication that you're in that fight or flight mode. But wherever you have been in terms of your intention and energy, wherever it's been going, faith offers us the opportunity to drop out of fight and flight and into God's care. We too can walk onto the ark of faith, and from that deck of safety, we can know that indeed God loves us and God is with us. Why don't we close with a moment of prayer? And this is going to be a meditation prayer. In case you're in fight or flight, maybe not even realizing it, but just creating a moment for quiet and stillness. So close your eyes and check in with your life. Check in with your body. Are your shoulders tight? Are your muscles tight? What about the muscles on your face, your facial expression? Is it possible that you've been in a fight or flight frame of mind that has taken you away from the peaceful, intuitive life of faith? Notice your breathing. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in, and when you breathe out your stress or fear. Take another inhale and breathe that out again. And now focus on the inhale. As you inhale, take in the presence and the peace of God. Exhale. Another inhale with the presence and the peace of God. O Christ, strengthen our faith. Amen.